We have a verse on the board from the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I chose this verse this morning because somewhat unexpectedly within this purport, or within this chapter rather, Srila Prabhupada gives a very important and significant purport in relation to something essential that I'd like to touch upon both today and tomorrow. So we can just go directly to the verse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, for the sake of protecting the cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the forms of incarnations. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead generally appears in various types of incarnations to give protection to the cows and brahmanas. The Lord is described as go brahmana hitaya cha. In other words, He is always eager to benefit the cows and brahmanas. When Lord Krishna appeared, He purposefully became a cowherd boy and showed personally how to give protection to the cows and calves. Similarly, He showed respect to Sudama Vipra, a real brahmana. From the Lord's personal activities, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to the brahmanas and cows. Then the protection of religious principles, fulfillment of the aim of life, and protection of Vedic knowledge can be achieved. Without protection of cows, brahminical culture cannot be maintained. And without brahminical culture, the aim of life cannot be fulfilled. The Lord, therefore, is described as go brahmana hitaya, because His incarnation is only for the protection of the cows and brahmanas. Unfortunately, because in Kali Yuga there is no protection of the cows and brahminical culture, everything is in a precarious position. If human society wants to be exalted, the leaders of society must follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, and brahminical culture. The text again, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, for the sake of protecting the cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the forms of incarnations. I need to know till what time normally the class goes. 8:30? 8:30:45. Okay. Yeah. If it's... Yeah. It's the second one, basically. Anyways, we'll go to that after some time. I'm very happy to get an opportunity to once again visit here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's been, I don't know, 6 years or probably too long since I came last time. I am presently on a tour, actually, of Europe as part of the work or the service that I do in India, especially. In India, some of you may know, since the last 10 years, the leadership in India has established a national ministry that is called ISKCON Daiva Varnashram Ministry, to especially promote rural development in India. And I chose this text here because it highlights some very fundamental ideas or principles and concepts that we don't always think about, I would say, sufficiently or deeply enough. The main message which is being conveyed here in this text and purport especially is that there is a standard or norm within our Vedic culture which is especially established and demonstrated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna and Balaram. And as Prabhupada explains very nicely here, this standard social system and arrangement, which primarily, if we analyze closely, what is the Vedic culture? Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian-based culture. An agrarian culture means it is directly connected, intimately connected with land and cows. In addition to the ministry work that I'm involved in India, in the last couple of years, I've also undertaken a formal research, which is a doctoral research on the topic of Vedic sociology. Srila Prabhupada speaks about Vedic sociology, or about sociology in general, of course, in the context of our Vedic culture. And it's interesting, our acharyas also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in particular, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, naturally have a very clear understanding of what is sociology. Sociology meaning, in our Vedic context, how society is meant to be arranged, how individuals are meant to be engaged, what kind of education is ideal education, and in this way how society can materially be arranged in such a way that individuals and society in general can function nicely, both materially and spiritually. In other words, we need to understand how dharma, the word dharma is mentioned in this verse here. Dharma is meant to be our main focus of attention, all of us. That's why we are all here this morning, actually, to try and understand and apply also the science of dharma. Dharma is not something new to devotees. However, at the same time, dharma is meant to be understood on two primary levels. Our acharyas refer to swadharma on the spiritual level and swadharma. Swadharma means what is original. Swadharma on the spiritual level is easy enough to understand, not so easy to realize or to practice. It means jiver swarup hoy krishna nityadas. We are all spirit souls. We are all eternal servants of the Lord. At the same time, there is dharma, swadharma, on the material level, which is maybe, especially in the context of modern-day society, a bit more evasive, a bit more difficult to grasp or to understand. And our ministry in India is especially focusing on this particular aspect of material Swadharma. Of course, of the two, we can easily understand, and our Shastra has clearly established as well, that spiritual dharma is the most important. You know, we are, after all, the eternal spirit soul within the body, and this material body is temporary, the material world, we are here. Well, we've been here for a long time, but we're meant to be here temporarily. However, while we are here, it is very important to understand how to properly utilize this body, how to properly utilize different levels of the material energy that is there, and especially most important for us as a society, both as individuals and as a society, to be exemplary in how we actually apply the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in terms of material Swadharma. We have been, and Srila Prabhupada makes reference to this very interestingly enough, on a major, we could say, economic and cultural deviation for the last 300 years, which actually has begun with the French Revolution in Europe and continues today with the early days of the Industrial Revolution. And it's very important for us to have at least a little bit of an idea of what that means, because it's directly connected with what is being mentioned here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It means this. There is meant to be a more simple and a more natural way to live, especially in order to fulfill the real mission of life, which is to become self-realized. And that more simple and natural way to live is what Prabhupada explains here and what we find throughout our Vedic literatures, agrarian culture. We now have the opposite that has been promoted and developed all over the world in terms of urbanization, in terms of industrialization. And Srila Prabhupada spoke quite, I would say, extensively about the dangers for us individually and for us collectively and for us as a society to remain dependent on the present, we could say, dominant culture, which is which is actually a very dangerous culture, which is in a very precarious situation right now. And anyone who reads or hears Srila Prabhupada's lectures, reads his books, will at some point or other have come across the following statement, and there are a number of them, whereby Prabhupada explains that modern-day civilization is a doomed civilization. Doomed civilization, why? Because the whole civilization is based on principles which are not sustainable, or principles which are not found in our Vedic culture. And therefore, it is very much part of our duty and responsibility to understand these two levels of Swadharma, and to know, Prabhupada has explained in so many ways, how we have this dual responsibility to understand and to put into practice. In other words, every day we attend Bhagavatam class, that's part of our spiritual Swadharma, to be hearing, you know. Hearing is most important. But simultaneously, when we leave the temple, most of our devotees naturally live outside the temples and occasionally come to the temple. But most of us, most who are grihasthas or living outside, having to cope with, you know, modern day society and whatnot. I wanted to bring up, I'll just show one slide actually from this presentation. It's generally when I spend a week approximately in a community, as I have been for the last 3 weeks in Simachalam in Germany, in New Brajadham in Hungary, and in La Nouvelle Mayapur in France, I give a 5-day seminar on Vedic sociology. I just want to share a few little things with you because the time is not allowing for the full seminar to take place. At the beginning of each seminar, I bring up this quote from Srila Prabhupada and basically what we know and we see all the time, you know, this ideology of simple living and high thinking. So simple living and high thinking is not only in terms of our spiritual self or spiritual activities. Of course, ultimately we know for a devotee everything is meant to be spiritual. But Anyways, of course, I want you to go in maybe after two slides. There is something very important that I just want to speak on. Yeah. Okay, this one. Just stop there for a second. Our Vedic culture, and this is really, to me, in the last few years, because I've been kind of concentrating on this a bit more. It's part of my, we could say, preaching activities and focus. Vedic culture is especially based upon four essential sciences. It's a responsibility of each and every devotee to at least understand the basics of these four sciences, or at least to know that there are four sciences, and that everything really within society is meant to be coordinated or harmonized with these four sciences. And then, of course, within these four sciences, there are subdivisions, etc., like that. The first of the four sciences, which we could say directs, thank you, which is meant to give support to the other three, is the one that most of us know a bit more about, I would say, because that's where our movement in our whole discussions when we attend classes, etc. The science of philosophy is the first of the four sciences, and it is divided actually in what is called Sankhya, Yoga, and Tarka. We won't go into those details, but essentially, as Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam are, you know, our foundational books of knowledge. And Sankhya philosophy we find especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and yoga we find, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna and Balaram attend Gurukula, Sandipani Muni begins by giving them philosophy. Because although they are attending Gurukula as Kshatriyas, because in the traditional education, Vedic education as we know, especially it is the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas who receive what we call formal education. Actually, one time Prabhupada explains that majority of people don't actually need to go to school. To school means formal school. It's not that people remain ignorant about things, but there's a different way of learning for the mass majority of people, which is, of course, not followed or not known in today's society because of many reasons which should be obvious to most devotees. But the science of philosophy, as I mentioned before, for most devotees, the basics are known because we hear them on a regular basis. The other three sciences are less known. Less known and therefore less put into practice within our present context. And that is not so good, because without knowing the other three sciences, we cannot demonstrate or fully apply the very wonderful philosophy that we have, isn't it? So the second science, I can bring it up here, which is, something went wrong there. The second science, just keep pressing, the second science will come up. No. You have to go back. Anyways, you might have to forget about it because we are talking Mac and different computer language here. Just close it. Oh, it's not coming up. Prabhu? Stop it. Yeah. So the first science is there. The second science is called the science, it's Trayi, or the science of knowledge, or the science of education, which is actually the specialty of, naturally, the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are meant to very deeply, on a daily basis, study, and they are meant to receive a formal education that generally takes many years as well. And if we look in the context of our society, of course, we know about education. We know something about education. But we, Prabhupada actually, as we know, spoke about traditional education or Gurukul education. We have yet to actually manifest or introduce, at least on a large scale. We have very little development in that respect, unfortunately, even now. I remember just 2 years or 3 years ago, our Minister of Education was making a statement, which to me was like a bit shocking. But the reality, unfortunately, that 95%, I don't know if it has changed since then, 95% of our children, of our devotee children, attend ordinary public school. That's changing a little bit, but we are still a very, very long way from what Prabhupada actually intended or desired in terms of introducing traditional education in terms of Gurukula, where one finds that there are 14 standard books of knowledge that one studies actually in Gurukula. And we won't go into those details so much, but there are five, I could just mention briefly, there are five basic pillars of education which all of us should know, because to a large extent they are absent in modern day education. And these five pillars of education, especially for those who are teachers, those amongst our devotees who are endeavoring to introduce or to come as close as possible to what Vedic traditional education is, it has to do with having a proper definition of knowledge in itself. It has to do with having a proper disposition, both on the part of teachers as well as students. Means teachers need to be qualified by having the prescribed qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Means the qualities of a Brahmana. Prabhupada explains that unless one has these qualities, one cannot actually be a teacher. And also students need to be qualified to receive education. Those are given in details in normally in the presentation that I give. Then how this knowledge is meant to be delivered, which is, of course, in the traditional system in a boarding school, isn't it? And it is meant to be given without charging, free education, but free education to those who are deserving. And then the curriculum, which is another, the fourth aspect, what ideally should be the curriculum, keeping in mind that Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian culture. And the last of the pillars, let's say, of education is what is meant to be the destination or the goal, both, we could say, primary and secondary. There's a lot to be said, obviously, obviously regarding the topic of traditional education, but it is a very deep science, and Srila Prabhupada had great aspirations that our society introduce this traditional knowledge, which is the only knowledge we should understand that can actually bring about very tangible changes within society. That's the second science. Trayi. The third science is called Dandaniti. Dandaniti refers to the science of politics or the science of governance. And, of course, that's also very important for all of us to have some understanding, at least some individuals within our society need to have proper understanding how society is meant to be arranged, governed, and how we can properly give guidance. We all know Prabhupada wanted us especially to be reestablishing a Brahminical culture. And that Brahminical culture means that those who are Brahmanas, not only they know things about, you know, spiritual subject matters, but they also know the science of politics. Otherwise, how do you give advice to politicians if you don't know the science of politics? That's the third science, which is a big topic in itself, isn't it? And the fourth science, which is also very, very essential, is the science of economics, which is a science for the Vaishyas. And there again, you know, Brahmanas are meant to know what is actually that science. In modern-day society, just to give a small example, this science of economics is totally misunderstood. It's misunderstood by the general population, by the general leaders around the world, and it is also, unfortunately, to a large extent, misunderstood by our own devotees. How can I justify this statement? Well, we must know what or how the science of economics is defined. According to our Vedic knowledge. And that science of economics, naturally, in the context of Vedic culture being primarily an agrarian culture, is found the definition or the formula for the real science of economics is found in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishi Gorakshavanijam Vaisha Karma Swabhavajam. Now, some of you may say, well, we know these things, but do we? We've heard them, definitely, but Prabhupada often would point out, we may have so much of knowledge, and we do, actually, as devotees have all kinds of knowledge, but then there's knowledge, which we know as jnanam, but then there is vijnanam, applied knowledge, isn't it? Just like we all know, theoretically, we're not this body. But we know how it's not at all easy to apply that knowledge, you know, to on a daily basis, to react in such a way that we're not this body, to see things completely on the spiritual platform. So therefore, and maybe I just want to wind up a little bit on this point to give a few minutes possibly for any comments or questions. One of the reasons why society today is in the kind of chaotic condition it is in is largely because these, actually all four of these sciences are largely unknown by general people, and also because, unfortunately, those sciences that have to do with material things, like the science of economics, and even the science of governance, and even, unfortunately, the science of education, is still very much lacking within our own society. And therefore, there's a direct link, we could say, with Srila Prabhupada's desires, Srila Prabhupada's mission, Srila Prabhupada's instructions of establishing, for example, Gurukula, of establishing Varnashram colleges, of establishing communities whereby we would not, again, be in this kind of very precarious, dangerous position that we are in now, of being dependent on a very unreliable, unsustainable, artificial, modern system. And most of us are not understanding to what extent this is really very important and very urgent for us to look at this and to actually, after more, I would say, clearly or more deeply understanding, taking certain measures whereby we will more, more closely be in line with some of the expectations or desires or directives, you know, given by Srila Prabhupada in that respect. I hope some of these statements are not shocking or too disturbing. Sometimes we need to hear some things that may be disturbing because we have a natural tendency to kind of like be comfortable in our positions. This purport to me is very, very significant. Tomorrow I'll be presenting a theme which is in keeping with the same message being given here. On a number of occasions, Srila Prabhupada speaks about killing civilization. That we are, modern day society is a killing civilization. You know, Atmahana. Small example, I mean, that context of education, isn't it? Prabhupada speaks about modern day education as being Atmahana, killer of the soul, not giving an opportunity actually for young people to have or to develop, to cultivate real knowledge. And this is just on the example of education, but if we look at each and every level within society, if we look at the fate of cows or the fate of animals in general or the fate of society, individuals, or the fate of the planet itself or ecology, we have reached a point where it is extremely critical, and therefore we need to understand how this modern lifestyle based on industrialization, which is, again, that's the point I'm trying to make, the more we allow ourselves to remain within the present dominant culture, which is basically based on adharma, the more we allow ourselves to support in various ways or to be part of this situation of adharma, then we are doing a disservice to ourselves, we are doing a disservice to society as well, and we are, in addition, doing a disservice to our founder, Acharya, who wanted us to actually take certain measures to counter, which is something very destructive. And therefore, tomorrow's presentation will be dealing with the topic of modernity. Modernity means, since the last 150 years or more, where the whole of general society, and this is very important for us as devotees who are meant to have a clear vision, a clear understanding, not only, again, not only of the whole, you know, spiritual duty or responsibility that we all have, but also we have a material duty and responsibility. Why do we have a material duty and responsibility? Because it's Krishna's energy, isn't it? Material nature is Krishna's energy. Other living entities and different bodies it's all, you know, part of Krishna. So I will bring this to a close right now, and maybe take a few comments or questions, I think.